grace. Can you say that with me? A praising grace. One more time. A praising grace. So over the next 3 weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about praising the Lord. We're going to talk about the grace of God. And today's message is foundational. You'll never be, turn me down just a little bit, Kev. You'll never be a person who really truly has maximized and really fulfilling your call when it comes to praising God unless you get this one message down today on the grace of God. It's the grace of God that has made me a person who can praise the Lord. It's the grace of God. If there's any of you in it, and it's about you, you ain't arrived, friend. I'm telling you, we're going to work on that today. Amen? So, anyway, we're going to put me up on the screen in a little bit and sort of what I look like. And the key is that you're going to look like that by the end of the message. You'll see here in a minute. Let's go with the message this morning, A Praising Grace. We'll start out with some scriptures and basically one great verse that we build this series on. Ephesians 1:3-7 and some other verses as well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Can you say verse 6 with me? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His what? Grace. Help me. To the praise of the glory of His... Get that little statement down. To the praise of the glory of His grace. One more time. To the praise of the glory of His grace. It's sounding good. One more time. To the praise of the glory of His grace. I tell you what, Ephesians is like, these first couple of chapters are like the greatest chapters in the Bible. I mean, I'm telling you what, they just take you to heights that are so high to think that God would love us like this, that He would make us accepted. Some other scriptures. In whom we have redemption through His blood, Jesus' blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His what? Grace. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the what? Praise of His glory. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. For by what? Grace are you saved. And He has raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Crazy verses. Awesome verses. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And read this one with me if you don't mind. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's that next one. Amen? Praise the Lord. Talking about grace today. Got it? All right, now we're off and running. Here we go. Y'all cool? Say, what's happening? What you talking about? Pull it in? Pull that back? It's driving me crazy. This new mic cord and me been fighting for 3-4 weeks. Okay? And I don't know, it's winning. I ain't winning on this thing. I love this mic. This thicker cord calls me a fit. I broke the last one. Amen? Let's see what happens. Here we go, Raj. Grace. Title to today's message is 100% God, 0% me. If you want to know what the definition of grace is, that's a good start right there. 100% God, 0%. One more time. 100%, 0% me. Grace. That's what we're talking about. So hang in here with me. Let's pay attention. Let's learn today from the Word of God. Grace. What is grace? Well, I've learned already, it ain't me, right? Say. And it's all God, right? Say. All right, so that's a good start. Let's go a little deeper. Let's find out what grace is. Okay, if it's amazing grace, I should know what it is, right? If I'm going to sing amazing grace, I should know what grace is. Let's look. It's the unearned, rich generosity from God to me. It's the unmerited favor from God to me. It's God acting freely of His own will to love me. It's God loving me without any obligations or ultimatums from Holy smoke. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Say, you mean no ultimatums? He just loves me. It's God's willingness to rescue me. Instead of condemning, God chooses to love. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Say, that's what grace is. Did you see me there? Me was just the one getting everything, wanna say. I'm just getting it all. I'm not doing nothing. It was all what? Him. 100% God, 0% me. God is holy. Grace is God's character, not mine. Grace is God's character, not mine. If you want to get to be able to experience grace in your life, it's going to come through a holy God. Amen? I am not gracious in my own nature. I'm meaner than a snake. Are you kidding me? I got problems. I'm warped. This is God, man. This is His character. Because God's holy. It's about Him, man. God is love. The roots of grace stem from God's what? Love. Boy, that grace that comes down to you and me, it goes way down deep into who God is. It's just rooted and grounded in God and His very person. He's a gracious God. He loves you today. Are y'all hearing or not? Say. And you thought it was about you doing. You ain't. It ain't about you doing. It's about you receiving. Amen? Till you get this down in your mind, you'll never be a person who can truly praise the Lord. Amen? I hope you can. I hope you, as you grow more and more in Jesus, I hope you'll be able to say, well, praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for that. Well, God sure is good to me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, that ought to be a language that we speak. Are y'all hearing me? Yes or no? Okay, I say that all the time. I'm not the crazy one on this one. That's good. Amen? That's good to say praise the Lord. It's good to thank the Lord. When you sit down and eat, you say what? Somebody tell me, what's the word we call it? Grace. Because what does that mean? You thank God for it. Amen. This is from your hand, Lord. Living a life like that, not just when it rolls around on the calendar. This is the way we should live. A praising what? Grace. Amen? That's what we're talking about this morning. God is good. God chose to pardon the sins of sinners even though it would kill His one and only Son. That's good right there, ain't it? Say, don't we do it sometime when bad things happen? Why would God let this happen? Here's what you ought to ask. A gracious person, a person who's experienced the grace of God should say this. How could God not love me since He let this happen to His Son Jesus for me? Amen? God, in His grace and His mercy, allowed His one and only Son to be killed for me. That's grace. Are y'all learning about grace today? Yes or no? Hope you are. All obstacles preventing me as a sinner from coming to God, they've been removed because of God's glorious grace. There's not a person listening to me in this audience or on radio or television in the future when this broadcast goes out. Listen, there's not a single person that can say, how could God love me? Look at what I've done. I can't come to God. You don't know what I've done in my life. Right, Mama? You hear it all the time, don't you? But I'm going to tell you something. Every obstacle preventing you to come to Jesus Christ has been removed. Why? Because you're a good person? No, fool. Listen to me. Listen. Because it's 100% God, 0% me. It's God's nature. It's who God is. He is love. And He loves you. And He showed it, and proved it, and paid for it in His own blood for you. Isn't that a great message? Come on. It's awesome. God's grace makes it possible for Him to visit me, even in prison, to pardon me, to adopt me as His very own. That is the grace of God. Wow. Isn't that cool? Man, what we're doing here at Fellowship Church really matters. This message really matters. This church we want to build that'll last past my life really matters. This is important. People need to hear this. We've screwed religion up so bad, we've made it as a man thing, it's a rule thing, it's a this thing, it's a that thing. We've lost this thing right here. This is what it's all about, the grace of God. Amen? Marjorie, the other night, is able to be at the Pregnancy Solutions Banquet with you and hundreds of people. And I love that ministry. Girls in trouble. Girls who people look at and say, you've done wrong, and they're ashamed of what they've done, many of them. They can't even lift their head up. I'm glad that somebody from Fellowship Church, like Marjorie Morris, is in there to show them the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. That is awesome! And people like Mama Jordan. That's great. This matters, man. God and God alone can give grace. Can you say that with me? Get it down in your noggin. God and God alone can give what? Grace. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer in Christ, let me tell you something. There ain't but one person who can give you grace, and that's God. You have to have a meeting with God. It's got to happen. Okay? You've got to talk with Him. He's the only one you can get this grace from. That's who God is. He's a God of grace. Keep looking. We're moving now. Okay? It's 100% who? God. And how much me? Zero. It's amazing grace, baby. No wonder the old slave trader, just a crooked dog he was, John Newton, wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen? He got it. He learned. Boy, it's amazing. It's 100% God, 0% me. Keep looking. Oh, there's the picture. There, the little piggy. There he is. I knew he was in there somewhere. I've just been talking, giving you scriptures. Now the rubber's going to hit the road right now. Here's the message right here. Here's the message coming at you for the next about 15 minutes. Y'all ready? Hang on. Y'all ready? Say. Oh, it's been a good talk, preacher. All that grace talk. You ain't learned nothing yet. You're going to get this and carry this home with you. This is going to make you mad, some of you. Good. Good. Here we go. Some pig stories. I'm amazed at how many times pigs are mentioned in the Bible. Did y'all know that? Say. Oh, yeah. Lots of pig stories. So we're going to drive the pig stories home today. I'm going to help you become a person of praise. Because you're going to see who you are and who God is. From the Bible. Let's just look at some of these. Here's Jesus. I'm not going to explain them all. I just want you to see a few of them. Matthew 7:6, Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before what? Pigs! Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, poke you, boy, you better watch it." So there's one of those little verses, just, whoo, a pig verse popped out. Anyway, let's keep looking. Here's Matthew 8. Here's Jesus going over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to the maniac of Gadara and the Gadarenes and over there to demon-filled people. Amen? Here it is. He was come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gergesenes or Gadara, and there met him two possessed with devils. They were coming out of the tombs. They were exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, these two men filled with the devil, or devils. They said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time, the final judgment?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many what? Pigs feeding. I mean, why they want some sheep feeding? Why wouldn't they like some cows? I mean, there are a lot of unique situations in the Bible where pigs are mentioned. Here, look. So this is all these pigs down here. So the devils besought him, saying, "If you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of what? Pigs." I mean, even the devil knew there was something about them pigs over there. They'd feel at home in pigs. Yeah. Devil feels real good in a pig's house. "Let us go over there." And he said unto them, "Go!" And when they were come out, they went into the herd of pigs. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Amen. Look at that. So that's just another pig story. Where are you going, Clark? Just reading. Let's keep reading. Acts 10. Now this is important. Listen to me. Acts 10, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion soldier, a Gentile, an unbeliever in Jehovah God and the ways of God and Jesus. But God appeared to this man. And he said, I want you to send some men to a man named Peter. And to make a long story short, this man named Peter is going to tell you about my son Jesus. Tell you how much I love you. And so sure enough, this man sent men to Peter. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, these men, they drew nigh unto the city they were told to go to. And Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter don't know these guys are coming. He's going up to pray. He became real hungry, Peter did. He would have eaten, but while they made ready for his lunch, Peter fell into some kind of trance or a sleep or a dream. And he saw heaven open. Peter did. He's in a trance. He's in a dream. He sees heaven open in his dream. And a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet. Let's call it a blanket. Got it? So he saw this big old blanket-looking thing come down. He's having this dream or vision or trance. And the four corners that it let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth on this blanket. That's where you get pigs in a blanket. Right there. That came to me this week in my office. So he sees this sheet, and I guarantee a bunch of pigs running back and forth on this thing. They were creeping things, fowls of the air. Keep going. And there came a voice to him in this dream, in this trance, and it says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Him being a Jew, he says, not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Don't you call it common. And by the way, folks, this wasn't about diet. This wasn't about eating. This was all about that man Cornelius. And Peter's walls had to be broken down because this was a Gentile man. This was a man he looked at as a pig or a dog. And God had to break down that wall in his life so he would go share the gospel of Jesus with him. Amen? That's what this whole story is all about. What's the point? The point is, I'm seeing a pattern. The devil went into pigs. Here Peter sees the blanket and his pigs. And then this story, one of the greatest stories in all the Bible. Look at this story. Luke 15, Jesus speaking, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me my inheritance now. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together. He took his money and everything that he got, and he took it into a journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent everything, there rose a famine in the land. And he began to be in what? Want. And he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him to into his fields to feed what? Pigs. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the pig husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. So what happened? When he came to his senses, listen, this son who had wanted everything, wanted to take it all, go live life, party up, baby. His son came back to his senses. He said, how many hired servants of my father's bread have enough bread to eat, even to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son, Dad. Make me as one of your hired servants. So the young son arose. He came to his father. But while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran. He fell on his neck. He kissed his boy. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hands. Put shoes on his feet. Bring the calf, the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat. Let us be merry. For this is my son. He was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they became what? Merry. There were some pigs in that story. I'm learning this week in my office. Studying. So I'm just sharing some things with you and I'm getting close. 0% me. I see me in this last story. Look at it. I'm the prodigal. I had nothing to plead on my behalf. I'm not a good person, God. Why? I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer you. I have no excuses. I've sinned. I've done wrong. It's the truth. That's the way it is. I'm the prodigal in this pig story. 100% God in this story. God saw me. God opened the gate. For me, it was this gate. Mama was watching television drunk one night in a chair in Rockingham, North Carolina, 1977. And Billy Graham came on the television set. Mama watching in her drunken stupor. I'm out hell-raising and partying with my friends. Somehow the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus came into that room, even though Mama was under the influence. Somehow it touched her heart. And I came home, she was crying. She cried a lot. And she said, we're going to church in the morning. God opened the gate. I cussed her out. Horrible. Next morning, Mama never went to church. We didn't have a car. Mama got up and was going to church. God opened the gate. Y'all hearing me or not? Say, you think it's about me? I pulled myself up my own bootstrap. Are you crazy? God opened that gate. We walked that morning. I wanted to go so some preacher wouldn't take our last dollar. I was mad as a hornet. Wanted to bust somebody square in the mouth. As soon as we hit the property, there's somebody that we hadn't seen in years and years that were on the church property and said, hi, Miss Clark, and hi, Gary. God opened the gate. Are y'all listening to the story? 3 weeks later, my mother and I both became Christians. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We learned it wasn't about us, that God loved us, period. No matter how evil, how wicked we were, God loves you, Gary. God opened the gate. God ran to me. Cool say. God interrupted what? My life. I would not be living in Englewood, Florida. I would not be doing what I'm... I had a whole set of different plans for my life. But God interrupted my life, friend. That's the grace of God. I want you to see this. I want you to know this in your life. God smothered me with His love. And it's probably happened more now at Fellowship Church than anywhere I've been in my life. You have smothered me with your love. You have smothered me with your love. I was able to put my arm around Dr. Price this morning. And reach up there and tell him, Doc, you loved me when I was hurting. He probably didn't know it, but he's just a good Christian man, wants to do right. But I'd go to his office, and he'd say, man, you're a pastor, you're a preacher of God's Word. You're not going to get charged anything from me. But he didn't know, but at that time in my life, it wasn't about money. It was just nice to hear somebody say that. You know what I'm saying? I've been smothered with the love of God. That's grace, man. Are y'all hearing what I'm talking about this morning? This is good stuff, man. God embraced me. Put His arms around me. We have a great God. God restored who? Me. You can say that, can't you? Say. How many of your life was a wreck? Jesus Christ came in your life. Look at your life now. Give Him praise this morning. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Can we do that? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you have a gracious, forgiving God? Amen? He's an awesome God. Man, I could do this for a living, what I'm doing right now. Talking about the goodness of God. He privileged me. It is a privilege for me to live in Englewood, Florida, and people to know that I'm a pastor, Fellowship Church. That's not a burden. That is a privilege. That is an honor. For me to share Christ, that's a beautiful thing. Amen? To be called a child of the living God. He privileges me. Amen? If you're a servant of God, I hear so many of you. It was a Jane Rogers, where you at? You're somewhere right there. She's going to help with the ladies' thing. She's going to make some flowers. It takes time to do that. Effort. Her attitude to me this morning was, I'm the one that gets the blessing. I'm the privileged one. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking to you about grace. Do you understand grace? Oh, I do this for people, and they don't do this, or they don't appreciate it, or I give this. Great! You're not a person of grace who understands grace. You listening? Now, when it gets a hold of you, it'll change you. Appraising grace. Amen? Let's keep looking. It's 100% God, 0% me. Raj, we got to finish. Are we going to make it? Here we go, buddy. Come on. You're talking too much. If you're bold enough in the house today, can you say it with me? I am a... That was weak. I am a... If you'll get this down, you might learn something. I am a pig. What does that mean? How many played horse in basketball? You get your game, you play you some what? Horse. And if you didn't have time to play horse, you played what? Pig. Yeah. My wife was always the best at this. It was horse or pig. She'd beat me every time. Amen? So anyway, we're going to play some pig right quick. Off these three letters. Here we go. Let's shoot. Here we go. The P. What does the pig mean? The P in pig mean? It means polluted. That's who I am. Pop it up. I'm rotten to the core. Any way you slice me, I come up a sinner. Cut me and that's what I bleed, sin. Okay? I got that from my daddy Adam. And Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. Remember that. I ain't no pig. Well, have all sinned in the building, yes or no? Well, you're on your way to becoming a pig. Amen? Pig, polluted, rotten to the core. Let's shoot the eye. Here we go. Eye, impotent. You go, oh, no, I ain't that. But that's not what we're talking about. Excuse me. Here we go. I know that's ugly. Hang on. Helpless is what it means. The word means helpless. I have no strength. Like an old pig, I'm what? Stuck in the mud. There's nothing that's inside me that gives me the strength to live for God or to come to God or to get my sins forgiven or to live a perfect life or to make myself holy. I have none of that in me. I'm impotent. I can't do that. I'm stuck in the mud, man. No matter how hard I try, I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps out of this mess I'm in. Y'all listening? How many would agree with me on that one too? Come on. You're on your way to becoming a pig at Fellowship Church. We got a bunch of pigs in our church. Good. Then we're on our way to being a praising church. And, oh, we need a T-shirt. You shouldn't have said it. You should not have said it. Roger will be working on a pig T-shirt this afternoon. Amen. Here we go. Here we go. Look at this story real quick, John 5, 1 through 9. After this, this was Jesus here. There was a feast of Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there was at Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool. I've been there many times to this pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel went down at a certain season into this pool, troubled the water, and whosoever there first went after the troubling of the water, and they stepped in, they were made whole of whatever disease that they had. And a certain man was there, and he had had an infirmity how long? 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie there, impotent man, and knew that he had been now a long while in that case, he said unto him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him and said, sir, would you say these next four words? I have no man. Say it with me again. I have no man. I want to tell you something. That's all different now. You have the man Christ Jesus, baby. Amen? You have him. He didn't really know who it was he was talking to. He said, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool, Jesus. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, say them words with me, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I put that scripture up because that was the last message my father-in-law ever preached, Pastor Wally Metz. The last message he ever preached was the impotent man and our omnipotent God. Amen? I have no man. But I'm going to tell you something. You do in Jesus, friend. Amen? He can change your life. He can give you that strength and to forgive you of sin. And He did that because of His cross. So P.I., what's the G? Guilty. Guilty. So I'm polluted? Yep. I'm impotent? Yep. I'm what? Guilty. Before God. I'm condemned to death and hell. That's what the Bible says. I've been weighed and measured in the balances and I've come up short. We've been taught, oh, there's a scale in heaven. Your good works outweigh your bad works. And so if they do, then you'll go to heaven. That's a lie full of bull. That's what it is. All our righteousness is as what, church? Filthy rags. And we have a death sentence on us. So I'm a pig. Are you a pig, yes or no? Oh, yeah, pig. You learned something today. Pastor called you a pig. I don't think Joel Osteen would do that. And maybe I shouldn't have. Amen? Here we go. Here we go. Joel's a lot nicer than I am. Here we go. Here we go. Polluted. It affects my moral character. I'm impotent. It affects my will. I don't have the strength. Guilty. It affects my legal standing before God. I'm guilty. Polluted. Makes me offensive to God because God's holy. Impotent. Makes me helpless to change for God because God's righteous. I'm guilty. Makes me punishable by God because God is what? Just. Why did I do all this today? I just want you to praise the Lord. I want you to be a person who praises Jesus Christ for His grace. And when bad things happen in your life, there'll be something bigger, bigger, that you can draw your attention to and get your head up and know, hey, even though my life's it's not going good right now, even though this happened to me, I tell you what, I'm loved by Jesus Christ. I mean, He took this old pig and made him a son of God. He made me a saint. He made me an heir. He made me a child of the King. He's forgiven my sins. This will get your head up. Amen? It's not bad to remember where He brought you from, the pit He dug you out of, the mire He brought you from. I call the grace of God a triple whammy. Here it is, and we're winding down fast. God's grace removes the pollution of sin, and it gives me a clean heart. God's grace removes my impotence and gives me strength to do God's will. God's grace removes my guilt and gives me pardon and release from all charges against me. Isn't that good stuff? That's the grace of God. I am a pig. There I am! You have to admit, He's sort of cute. Amen? Here we go. Grace, it's 100%, 0% me. A couple of statements, and we're done. God's grace cannot act where there are claims of my own goodness and my own abilities. Grace will come up against a wall if it's about you doing good or being good or earning God's favor. You can never earn God's favor. You can never earn God's love. When you think that you're doing good or being good or somehow because you earn God's love or grace, you're going to hit a wall and the grace won't flow. Does that make sense? 100% God, 0% you or me. The problem with religion, this is the great preacher Harry Ironside, who's with Jesus now. He said the problem with religion is that it don't have enough letters. It's only got two. Do. And I added this part. Do, do, do. Do, do. Stinks. Amen? Religion stinks. But the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord has plenty of letters. It's got four of them. Done. D-O-N-E. He paid the price. He loves you to pieces. It's all done. Do you believe it or not? Say. Put your faith in Christ and Him alone. End of question, end of story. 2 Peter 2, talking about religion. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest, to whom in the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therewith and overcome. Why? Because they changed the truth of God, made it into a lie. That's what religion does. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have even known the way of righteousness than after they knew it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them and to change it into some kind of mess, religion. And then look at another pig verse. Well, wouldn't you imagine? But it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit, and the what? Pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen? Grace is 100% God, 0% me. It's amazing grace. Amen? I have a new heart. I have new power now. I have new standing. Do you think y'all can praise the Lord this Thanksgiving, yes or no? Or you ain't got nothing, thank God for? I must have all three of these. I can't just have one. I got to have all three. Got it? Yes or no? Alright? You can maybe make yourself a little cleaner, but you got to get all three of those, friend. It only comes to the grace of God. A polluted man who is powerful and who is in good standing is still what? Rotten to the core. A powerless man who's clean and he's in good standing, he can still do what? A guilty man who says, look how clean I am, look how powerful I am, he's still condemned and sentenced to death. Amen? I need all three, and only grace can do this for me. I am a pig. But Jesus has made me a saint. A saint. Amen? Okay, this can only happen by the grace of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Let's praise the Lord for His grace this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord!